Hi, everybody. This is Danny Johnson. And, hey, we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas to you and yours. Before we get started, I first want to just welcome all of you that are brand new here for the very first time on this very busy Monday night before, I don't know, one of the craziest, busiest times of the year that some of us love and some of us hate and some of us have a love-hate relationship with. Let me just extend to you welcome on tonight's call. Hopefully tonight you're going to be able to draw some information that will really be able to impact your life and help you to close out your December with a great bang, so that December isn't, you're not closing this December out like you did maybe last December, but there's some great significant improvements and changes in your life. So welcome if you're here for the very first time. And again, Hans told you about a website, which is www.dannyjohnson.com. On that website, you will have access to a tremendous amount of free information once you register as a free member. This free membership will entitle you to a tremendous amount of training, equipping, leadership development, you name it. It is in there to help you with your personal, your professional, and even your spiritual life if that is what you're seeking to learn how to do. But my name is Danny Johnson, and prior to getting started in business for myself, I was an uneducated 19-year-old female who grew up in an abusive home. My parents were drug addicts. My father was extremely violently abusive, and he was wicked with his mouth. I heard my whole life how stupid I was, and I couldn't do anything right, and no matter how hard I tried, it was never good enough for him. And so growing up in that environment, confidence was seriously lacking, no self-worth, no self-esteem, nothing. We ended up hearing about going into business for myself, and it took me a couple months to get the courage to even think about it. Once I got started, I failed miserably. I could not get anything off the ground. I mean, none of it was working. None of it. I mean, it was horrifying, the failure that I was experiencing. However, I was really too stubborn to quit. And so the first 6 months, I got nowhere and got nothing done. And then shortly after that 6 months, I wound up going to and plugging into a training seminar that I could not afford. It was this time of year. I could think of a whole lot of other things that I could do with my money and my time if I had the money. But I heard if I didn't go, then I was going to fail. And I was so blessed, looking back today, that the man who told me about this particular seminar was willing to be bold with me like that, telling me, if you do not go to First Steps to Success, you will fail. And so I went. And shortly after coming out of that, I wound up making $4,000 in 8 very short days. Then following that, I wound up making just under $50,000 after just a few months of working my business. And so this was really an amazing experience that I had. And so you've got to ask yourself, what in the world could possibly have changed in 2 days that would have made such an impact to make $50,000. Well, I had gone to several training seminars. In fact, I didn't miss one. I went every single month. Every single month. I refused to miss one because, gosh, every time I went, I just had incredible results immediately. And I wanted to see those kind of results for myself as well as for my people. Then I went off and I got married, and the man that I married drained my bank account, maxed out my credit card, leaving me with a $35,000 debt. I wound up completely destitute, broke. My business was stolen as a direct result to marrying him. And everything in my life turned upside down. I mean, here I'm this, you know, kid who grows up in a horrible home who winds up then failing and then going on to succeeding. And then shortly after that, everything turns upside down. And then the inevitable of what I thought I would be, which was a failure, is what I had turned into. And so after several weeks, and this right now, we are right now on the day, 15 years ago, I was a homeless woman, completely homeless, living in the back of a Hyundai, showering in public places, sleeping on beaches. I mean, it was a devastating, scary, horrifying time. I want you to imagine right now, put yourself there. There's some of you that think that you may have fallen on some hard times. But listen, if you have a roof over your head, you have a place to sleep, you have food on the table, you've got gas in your car, you have nothing to complain about. And here, I didn't have any of those things. I mean, this was truly one of the most outrageously devastating times of my entire life. It was horrifying. And so here, after several weeks of doing this, and so right now I'm homeless, I'm facing Christmas season coming up, I'm not even thinking Christmas, I'm thinking food, I'm thinking, how do I dig myself out of this pit that I have somehow gotten myself into? And just completely flipped out on myself. And it was absolutely crazy and devastating. And the day after Christmas, decided to get over it already. I started a business from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth, took an account for my life, really decided to look at where I was going, and where I didn't want to be. And December 26th, worst day in the year, you'd think, to start a business, I started something for, I mean, literally a payphone booth, a handwritten flyer, got somebody to give me a voicemail number, where there's a will, there is a way, and wound up making $2,000 the first 10 hours. Then beyond that, made $6,500 the next 30 hours that I put into it. Next month, $10,000. I mean, here, just literally 2 months after being a homeless woman, had knocked over a $10,000 paycheck. By the end of my first year, 12 months, made $250,000. I remember 14 years ago living, now right now I would have been living in the first home that I purchased 14 years ago, exactly 12 months to the day of being homeless, I had written a check for $32,000 to buy my first home. Then I have purchased many homes beyond that. My husband and I have been blessed to have run very profitable businesses. We've had lean years and we've had great, gracious years through the last 15 years that I have not been homeless any longer. And so if this young, uneducated female can start in business for herself, and out of the trunk of a car at a payphone booth in the month of December, completely homeless, and go on and make $250,000 in that first year and make my first million by the end of my second year, by the time I was 23 years of age, folks, had reached a millionaire status after being completely 100% homeless. And so if that can happen for somebody like myself, then what in the world can happen for you? What can happen for you tonight? What can happen for you today? What can happen for you tomorrow, the next day? What can happen for you by the end of this month? I know that there's many of you, majority of you, are nowhere near where I was 15 years ago at all. Not at all. And there are some of you that may be close to that place. And there really are some decisions that you need to make in order to make sure that you don't stay in the position that you're in right now. And so if I can do it, then there really is no question that you can as well. Now, I am not a part of any particular direct selling company or anything like that. We are simply a service. Majority of the service is free. We support people that are in business, in the home-based business industry. We support doctors, lawyers, judges, architects, engineers, you name it, rocket scientists, nurses, plumbers, cocktail waitresses, you name it, we've got every form of walk of life inside of our database that plugs in on a weekly basis, listening to calls like this, going into the database and listening to our conference call vault, and just pulling information for free that they can utilize in their everyday business life, in their everyday jobs, careers, raising their families, or what have you. So, again, you can find that information at www.dannijohnson.com. Tonight, in lieu of everything being so busy for every single one of us, I'm going to go through some more questions that people have emailed to us, and we're going to have a wide variety of topic for tonight. So it's going to be very rich tonight, the information that you guys are going to be able to receive. And so pay attention very closely, and if you are invited by somebody that let's say was management over you, a supervisor, somebody that enrolled you into a particular program, whatever, if you were brought in by somebody that you are subordinate to, I want you to really get off the phone with me after we're done at 8 o'clock and thank them for inviting you, thank them for caring enough about you to be able to introduce you to some information that they felt would be helpful for you. It says a lot about the character and the heart of the person that drove you to this conference call. It really does. I mean, people are busy, and for them to be able to share some information that they felt was helpful to them, to share it with you, come on, I'm a mom, I've got 5 children, I've got 1 granddaughter. I mean, we are busy. I'm a homeschooling mother on top of running several companies. And so I understand what busy is all like. And so if somebody cared enough about you to turn you onto this call, you definitely want to extend a thank you to them. It says a lot about who they are and what their character is. And make sure you pay attention to them. If they're having success, pay attention to them. very important thing to do. Okay, so tonight, let's go ahead and start with the very first question that we're going to start off with. One, the first question is how and where to find at least 10 prospects every day with limited time. We completely understand what limited time is all about. And what I can tell you is when I first started off in business, obviously having zero funds, it was very difficult to be able to prospect. And so what I want you to think about right now is if, you know, let's just say that you went out and you started a business and you went to Wells Fargo Bank or whatever bank it is that you do business with and you applied for a business loan and what you actually were able to get was, let's say, $100,000. And so being able to get that $100,000, you took it, and let's say that you started a restaurant, and so you took that money, you purchased the equipment in the kitchen. I mean, all the equipment. We're talking, you know, the serving utensils. We're talking the tools that you actually use. I mean, tip-top shaped knives. We're talking cutting boards, pots and pans. We're talking a Wolf Range commercial stove. You know, big, huge refrigerators and freezers, and not to mention the fact that you need to go into this particular building and gut that thing out. So there was some construction costs, as well as decorative costs, you know, getting the whole setup and the feel and the lighting and the image and paint. I mean, the list goes on, as well as uniforms for your servers. And so let's say that you blew all $100,000 on getting that business, you know, up and started. And let's say that you have zero money left over for advertising budgets. So, my friend, what would you do if you were in that place and you'd made that considerable investment into starting a restaurant and you completely ran out of funds to advertise your business, which is really like the last step, what would you do at that point? What is your next step? Good question, isn't it? So, on that note, I'm sure your answer is, well, gosh, I have to tell everybody I know that I have a restaurant. Well, exactly. And so really how and where to find 10 prospects every day with limited time, the quickest, best way to be able to find 10 prospects every day with limited time is, first of all, starting with your list of warm contacts yourself, starting with your own list of resources. That's what you would do if you made a considerable investment into a restaurant and ran out of advertising. In fact, let's say that you didn't run out of advertising budget. Let's say you did run advertising. If you put that kind of an investment out and you are excited about it, there's nothing that you would do to shut up about, you know, the new business that you have just started. And so I encourage you strongly to, and clearly, make a list of resources, because that is the most valuable asset that you currently have for your business. In fact, your list of resources is what can lead you to other markets, can lead you to other people that you do not know that are far more talented than you are, that have better ability, better skills than you do. And so that's really what you're looking for, is with a list of resources, you have access to 10 people every single day, no problem. And that really is the quickest and the easiest. That is, of course, if you're looking at that list as to what it is, a list of resources. Now, if you're not looking at that list as, okay, it's a list of people that are going to reject me, it's a list of people that I have to, you know, try to convince. No, that is not what I'm asking you to do. That list of resources are really an asset that you have. Every contact that you've ever made in your entire life, so of course that's going to include family members. Of course that's going to include, you know, close relationships and business associates that you've had. I want you to make a list of every place that you've made these contacts, phone numbers, that you got, email addresses all over the world of people that you know people. And through that list of resources, when you contact them, you want to use a very variable, viable tool, and that is the script book and training audios that we have available on our website. The script book and training audio comes with 2 CDs. This is an extremely valuable, valuable tool. We just heard several stories last week of people that were really struggling with prospecting, got a hold of the script book, and turned their numbers over right away. I mean, it was a scary amount of numbers that were turned, and they thought, oh, man, this is, like, too simple. In fact, we've had several comments through the years, you don't charge enough for that script book. And so we highly recommend that you get a hold of that. When you contact those people, there's a number of different scripts and ways that you can do it. You can use a test market approach. You can use the practice approach. Well, Danny, I've been with my company for quite a while. I can't use the test market approach. Yes, you can. IBM's been in business for 40 years. They're still doing test markets. Hello? Their companies that are successful are always doing one of two things. One, test marketing. Hello? Two, they are always recruiting. Every successful organization on the planet is doing those two things, test market and recruiting. They're constantly testing out new ways, new ideas, new strategies, beefing up new skills, in hopes of growing their business or just keeping their business moving forward. And so, especially in the competitive market. So that's one way. Your list of resources is one way to be able to make sure that you got 10 new prospects every day. You should at least get a list of 200 names. I've had leaders in the industry have earned millions of dollars that made a requirement of a list of 2,000 names that they required from their brand new person to come up with in the first week. And so just make that list. Now, again, instead of you're like, oh, but I've been in and out of business so many times, I want to contact these people. That's not the point. The point is make the list of resources. You'll be amazed as to what comes alive off of that list. As well as, in fact, I want to do this with you right now. I'm going to role play this out with you. What I want you to do is I want you to draw a circle at the top of your page right now. Okay, just do this with me right now. Draw a circle at the top of the page. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, Danny, I have plenty of contacts, so I don't really need to be listening to this. Oh, you don't even want to think like that. You're thinking such short term. What you want to know is how to say what it is that I am saying, because you are bringing people into your business, hopefully daily or weekly, if you're actively working your business. So if you're actively bringing people into your business, then what I want to tell you is draw this out. Go through this with me, because this is what you should be doing with your new people. So what I want you to do is draw a circle at the very top of the page. Okay, and I want you to put your name. Now, this is if you're new. If you're not new, well, still put your name anyway. So put your name. So I'm going to put Danny. I'm going to use a different name, actually. I'm going to put Bob. This is one of my favorite people to work with, Bob and Sue. Okay, now, the question I would ask a brand new person, this is the question I'm going to ask all of you. I want you to close your eyes right now. Are you doing it? Did I get everybody? Okay, cool. Now your eyes are closed, and I want you to think of right now three people that you know that could rip this thing up better than you. Think of three people that you know. I'm not asking you to think of three people that you know that will do this or that would say yes to this. I'm just asking you to give me, okay, I want you to think of right now three people that you know that you feel that could rip, if they saw it, you know, I mean, if they actually grasped it, they got the concept and they believed. I want you to come up with three names of three people that you know that could just totally 100% rip this thing to shreds, that could just attack it and do 10 times better of a job than you. Now, if you've got a big ego, chances are you won't be able to come up with anybody's names. If you are humble and you realize that everyone has strengths and weaknesses, and if you are any bit of a leader with no ego, then you should be able to come up a list of three names. If you think you're better than everybody else, well, then we got a problem, and you have a big, giant wall that you're going to run into here really soon. Your ego doesn't get in check. Okay, so the three names. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to draw three separate lines, like three legs, you know, three legs to a table or whatever, off of the circle. And I want you now to write in the three names that of people that you know that could rip this thing up better than you. So I'm going to write down, let's say that Bob tells me his friend Ro, that his friend Ro could just rip this thing up better than him, and then he's also going to tell me that Steven is another person he knows that could rip it up, and Andrew is another person that he knows that could just totally rip it up. Okay, so then at this point I'd be saying, okay, Bob, now tell me about these three people. Tell me about Ro. And so he would say, well, you know, Ro is just a total go-getter. And again, you're asking Bob to tell you about these three different people. And so he would say, well, Ro is just a total go-getter. She is somebody that is persistent. She's very business-minded. She's running a software company right now. She loves to make money. She likes the finer things in life. She has got a huge amount of people that she knows. She's just got a huge family. She's got a huge center of influence. You know, she's one of those people that, you know, graduated 20 years ago from high school and still kept in touch with a tremendous amount of people. So, you know, she's a people person, all that. Okay, cool. Now, tell me. Now, you're saying, Bob, that you feel like Ro could just rip this up better than you. Oh, yeah, absolutely she could rip this up. Okay, now, if she saw it, I mean, if she really grasped the concept and she had wisdom to realize that it just makes sense to contract in a company and a product and let them do all the work and all we do is take care of the marketing, let's just say that she actually saw it. What kind of business do you think that she would be able to build? What kind of an income do you feel that Ro would just really be satisfied with, and that kind of income that she would really get in and work hard to make? And Bob would say, you know, I think she'd, you know, she already makes over $100,000 a year, so $250,000 a year, I think, would be, like, extremely appealing to her. Okay, cool. All right, now, Bob, what about Stephen? Tell me about Stephen. What is it about Stephen that you feel is really, you know, why you feel like he could build it better than you? Okay, so Bob says, well, Stephen actually is in, right now he is in sales, and, you know, he's been in sales for 20 years, and, you know, he's obviously a real big people person. He's done management. He has a lot of respect in our family. He's my cousin. And so, you know, everybody just really respects him, and they know that you know, he's honorable and he's trustworthy, and, you know, he just seems to have a real way with people. And so I feel like, you know, he'd be really, really, I mean, if he saw it, he'd be really good. Okay. So the next question you asked Bob is, all right, so Bob, Stephen, let's just think about Stephen here for a minute. Now, if Stephen saw it, let's say he grasped it, got the concept, he had some good wisdom in his head, and he looked at his experience and his ability in his context, how much money do you think that if he saw it, he wanted to take a run on it, he got the right kind of training and equipping, how much money do you think Bob would work hard to make? And then Bob says, well, I would say, you know, probably $200,000 a year would probably fit his fancy pretty good. Okay, cool. Now tell me about Andrew. And then Bob would just go ahead and proceed to tell me about Andrew. He'd give me all the qualities as to why he thinks Andrew would be better than at the business than Bob. Okay, so what we're doing there is that we're absolutely showing him. Oh, well, first of all, let me finish. So now I go, okay, now in order for Ro to make $250,000, and that's, you know, there's two ways to build the business. One is to go wide and her just getting out there and marketing, you know, as many of these fast-track packages as she can. She makes $200 every time she does it. And so, she, you know, she can make $250,000 just by simply bringing people into the business and not even really worrying so much about building and developing a huge team. Same with let's say that Andrew said he wanted to make $100,000 a year. Okay, so in order for Ro to create a $250,000 income, and I'm sure Ro would want to probably create a $250,000 residual income. In order for her to create that kind of an income, and all of your compensation structures are different. And so I'm just going to throw out a number that I'm real familiar with. In order to make $250,000 a year in a lot of compensation structures, you typically have got to be doing, I would say about at least, and again, it depends on bonuses and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to say that you could do it after doing $500,000 a month in sales volume, okay? So $500,000 a month in sales volume, which is going to be about $6 million a year in sales. And then in order for Stephen to make $200,000 a year, I'm going to say he's going to make, you know, he's going to do $450,000 worth of sales volume. And then for Pedro to be able to do that, I'm going to say it's about $200,000 worth of sales volume for him to make, I mean, a month for him to make the $100,000. And again, these numbers are extremely, extremely conservative. In most cases, you don't have to do that kind of volume in order to make that kind of money. But let's just say that it is. Okay, so then I show him, okay, well, in order for Ro to make that $250,000, she's going to wind up creating $500,000 a month in sales volume. In order for Stephen to make $200,000 a year, he's going to create $450,000. And in order for Andrew to make $100,000 a year, he's going to create $200,000 of sales volume also. Now, the way that this works is that Bob, the way our compensation structure works is that you get paid 5% on that business that Ro has created. So 5% of $500,000 is going to be $25,000 a month on just Ro's efforts alone. 5% on the $450,000, you're looking at, I wish I had a calculator. 5% of that, so you're looking at roughly $20,000 a month that you would earn off of the $450,000, like $21,000 a month is roughly what you'd make off of that. And then on that simple 5% on the $200,000, you're going to make $10,000 a month on Andrew. And so here we go, we're looking at you're looking at a lot. You're looking at over $50,000 a month In fact, $56,000 a month is what you would be earning because of the success of just these three people. That's it. So your check would be about $56,000 a month from generating, from finding three people who could do this business better than you. So what we want to do is we want to just go ahead and practice on a couple of these people right away and just see, you know, see where it takes you. They may lead you. You know, Ro may lead you to somebody that's even better than Ro. Let's say that Ro right now is not the right time, but she may lead you to somebody else that's hungry for $250,000 a year. And if that person is hungry for $250,000 a year, then look what you're looking at. You're looking at an outrageous income that you're going to generate from that person's efforts. And so same with Steven. I'm not saying that any of these three are necessarily the three. Who knows, and who cares how long it takes to eventually bring them around the table for them to see an opportunity for them to generate $250,000 a year or whatever it is that they would want to do. As you can see, the way the 5% works, this is the kind of income that you're going to generate from doing that. Okay, so that's what I'm telling you guys. The quickest way to come up with 10 prospects is to start with this. Create an eager one and your brand new person to be able to make that list of names, because look what happens. If they get out there headhunting for people that are much better at the business than they are, this is what they're going to get instead of them headhunting at the unemployment line. That's definitely not the place to headhunt. Okay, so then another way is I want you to put 10 pennies in your right-hand pocket. And a little rule of thumb, and I've done this myself when I first got started and had no contact, had no money to develop any contact, and I began to just network like crazy and looking for people that were better than me, looking anywhere, like in looking in my job, looking around the beach, looking at the grocery store. I mean, I was looking everywhere for people that were better than me or looking for people who could lead me to others that could be better than myself at my business, because at that time I had like zero skill and no ability and no money. And so I put 10 pennies in my pocket, and what I did is that every time that I would go and make a contact with a prospect and get their phone number, I would move one penny from the right pocket to the left pocket. And so by the end of the day, I would not go to bed until I made contact with 10 brand new people. And so most of us, not all of us, but majority of us live in areas where that is a pretty simple thing to do. We're around people every day, all day long. And for those of you that live in little tiny communities, I just recently met a woman inside of a cookware company that lives in a tiny little town of 300, and she's the number one salesperson in that company. I mean, how ironic is that? That's crazy. And so how does that happen? And especially it's a direct sales model, which means that they don't work leads. They do home parties every week. They work a direct sales model, which means they're doing, it's a party plan is what it is. And so if this woman could develop her business and her sales force to being, you know, in the top, you know, out of a town of 300, then give me a break. Then all of us can. And so it's really about thinking beyond where you're living, thinking beyond the town that you're in, thinking beyond and outside of the state that you're in and going, okay, who do I know that's out of state or who do I know that knows people out of state? It's about really opening up your mind and expanding instead of coming to some lame excuse, I don't know anybody, I don't know anyone who knows anybody, and just cutting it off from there, because that's just really stupid. Okay, cool. All right, now, next question. This is, what is the best way to answer when a prospect asks, how do I sell this business or how do I find people? Great question. It's an awesome question. Okay, so you want to make sure you have paper and pen, because I'm gonna role play this out with you. And again, I just gave you a whole bunch of stuff that's similar. When somebody asks you, you know, let's say that you're in that closing process and you did it all right. Let's say you're in that closing process and the person gives you an objection like, you know, I don't have the money or I don't have the time or whatever, okay? And you did it right. You handled that objection properly. You qualified the objection. And now you're at the point where they say, where you say, okay, well, it sounds like you have some questions. What is your first question? And they give you the first question, which is, how do I sell this stuff? And the second question is, how do I find people to sell it to? Okay, so let's say that that is your prospect, Bob's two questions that he has. And again, that's if you did this right, that's if you found their needs, strengths, and goals. And again, if you've done it right. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that are banging it out big time and messing it up and then, you know, trying to take this little thing that I'm going to give you and go, well, I didn't work. Well, if you're not going to use the system, of course it's not going to work. You can't take one ingredient out of your system and isolate it and hope that thing works. It ain't going to work by itself. The whole script book and CDs and the closing script in there and handling objections is a system. You want to utilize that system to the best of your ability. Okay, so how do you answer this question? So your prospect, Bob, says, okay, you qualified him. Now he says, you know, my first question is, how do I sell this stuff? And the second question is how do I find people? Okay, this is how you're going to do it. Listen carefully. Okay, well, Bob, now if I can answer both of your questions and you feel absolutely good and satisfied with the answers, are you ready to get yourself started right away so that you can, and then you repeat back to him his needs, strengths, and goals? So in this case, I would say, so Bob, so that you can be able to get out of debt, send your kids to college, and be able to take your wife on a vacation. Okay? So if you feel really good and solid about the answers, are you ready to get yourself started right away so you can pay off your debt, send your kids to college, and take your wife on a long way to Tahitian vacation? And he's going to say, yeah, sure. Okay, if he hems and hawes, well, you know, I don't know. And I would say, okay, Bob, listen. I don't want to waste your time, and I certainly don't want to waste mine. So, Bob, I'm going to ask you again. If I can answer these questions and you feel really good and solid about the answers, are you ready to get yourself started right away so that you can pay off that debt that you hate, send those kids to college, and take your wife on a Tahitian vacation? Okay, yes. And they usually said, okay, yes. Now why? Because you want to pause if you feel really good and solid about the answers, good and satisfied with the answers. That's where you want to make the emphasis. Because if he feels good and solid about them, then yes, he should be ready to get started right away. So I've already gotten the first close out of the way. It is, if these questions are answered, he feels awesome about it, dude, he's in. Okay. So, okay, Bob, do you have a pen and paper handy? Okay, great. Now, let's go ahead and answer question number one. How do I sell this business? And I would ask him to clarify. I don't want to assume that I know what he means. And so I say, Bob, can you clarify that for me? What exactly do you mean by how do you sell this business? Okay, and then he would say, well, you know, where am I going to learn how to be able to promote this business? And, you know, who's going to teach me how to be able to do that? Okay, and that's typically where that's coming from. See, the first question is how do I sell this business? And if you were to answer that question, you would not get to the root objection that Bob has. And so when you ask Bob, okay, well, Bob, what exactly do you mean by that? Then you're going to get more of what he's talking about. And so then he would say again, you know, well, how exactly am I going to learn how to be able to promote this business? You know, how am I going to know what to say and all of that kind of stuff? Great. Now, that's a training issue. This isn't a how do I sell it. That's a training question that he has. Okay, so then I'm going to address the real question, which is who's going to help me learn how to be able to promote my new business? Okay, great. So I say, okay, Bob, that is a really good question. Now, Bob, earlier today when I spoke to you, I read a script to you. Now, you may have figured that out because I probably sound like I'm reading. But what I'm going to tell you is that our company has contracted in a trainer. My organization, let's say that your company hasn't, but your organization has. Our organization has contracted in a trainer by the name of Dani Johnson. She's got an incredible amount of training and equipping that is just truly second to none. She was a homeless cocktail waitress with a $35,000 debt who, by reading scripts, made $250,000 her first year, made $1 million her second year, and has gone on to make millions beyond that through reading scripts. And so I used her script earlier today. In fact, I just finished reading her second script to you earlier today. Now, Bob, let me ask you something. If you were trained, do you feel like you could read and stick to a script? Well, of course I could. Okay, great. So how that works is that we, through advertising campaigns or a list of resources that maybe you may have, what we do is that we make contact. And again, our advertising campaigns that are running, there's 20,000 people every day looking for a home-based business. And there are people from all over the world that are actively looking to get out of debt. In fact, I'm sure that the number one or number two New Year's resolution that will be coming up in January will be to get out of debt. And so there's a tremendous amount of people that are absolutely dissatisfied with the income that they're making, or they're dissatisfied with their current profession. So what we do is we interview those people to see if they have the kind of qualities of the kind of person that we would be looking for. And so it's all laid out there in a script book. So that's pretty simple, as well as two CDs that you'd be listening to. So how that works is either through advertising campaigns as well as your own personal list of resources, we would basically go through a script, direct them to the information in the very same way that you took a look at the information. Okay, now time out. Maybe the way they looked at that information was in a live business presentation. It could have been an 8-minute recorded message. It could have been going to a website. It could have been through literature that you had sent him. It could have been a live conference call. Could have been a recorded conference call. It could have been a one-on-one presentation in a coffee shop. Those are a number of different ways that he could have been exposed to the business, okay? But let's just say I'm going to say, you know, take a look at the information the same way that you did. And let's say that I did it in a live business presentation setting, okay? So I'd say, so what we would do is that I read a script to you, I then took you to the information, read you some questions straight out of that script book, and right now I'm answering your questions. Now, do you feel like you would be able to read a script, direct people to the information so they can make a decision on their own, afterwards asking some questions, then once you've been trained, Bob, to answer their questions, basically that's what this new career is all about. So, Bob, my question to you is, are you at least willing to work? He's going to say, well, yes. Do you feel like you'd be willing to learn? Well, of course. Okay, great. Are you willing to give it a try? Well, sure. There you go. Okay, now, Bob, does that answer your first question? And make sure that you say that after you answer his first question. You want to be clear, clean, and concise when you're answering his questions, and do not sell him. Be clear and concise. Okay, so Bob, did that answer your first question? Bob's going to say, yeah, it did. Okay, so question number two. How do I find the people? Well, Bob, as I said before, we have a number of different ways find the people. In fact, the people are looking for us. And really what it's about, because there are thousands of people looking to get out of debt. There are tens of thousands of people looking for a way to increase their income. There are people that are just dissatisfied with what they're currently doing and are looking for a better way. People like yourself who want to get out of debt, send their kids to college, and want to take their wife on a Tahitian vacation, but they know on their current income it's never going to happen. And so really it's about not necessarily finding people, but it's about locating the people that are looking for us. And so that is a process that I just explained to you. And so we've got advertising that can be done. There's the Internet, as well as through our own personal list of resources, as well as our everyday life, as well as referrals that you'd be getting from people as we begin to test market your business. And so that's one way. Actually, there's a number of different ways, as well as the thing I just mentioned, which is a test market. Test market's a great way to locate people. It's very non-threatening. You're just doing a local test in your area, kind of like how Coca-Cola did a test market. They did a taste test against Pepsi. We're going to do test markets right there in your local community, and what you'll find that has happened to most of us is that when we did a local test market, people wound up not only liking it, but not only becoming a client or even a business associate, but they wound up sending tremendous amount of referrals of other people they felt needed it as well. So, does that answer your second question, Bob? Well, yes, it does. Great. Welcome aboard. All I need to do is get your contact information. Okay, great. Bob, how do I spell your last name? Jones, J-O-N-E-S. Okay, great. What method of payment would you like to use? Okay, what address would you like to ship to? Bada boom, bada bing, it's all done. Okay, cool. All right, that answers question number two. Question number three is, how do I ask the right relevant questions to better understand the needs and aspirations of the prospect? Well, again, I mean, this is a short conference call. I can spend a tremendous amount of time going through that information with you. I can give you real quickly what isn't relevant is talking about yourself. What isn't relevant is talking about what you're excited about your products. What isn't relevant is with you leading with all that is about you. That is not relevant. So what is relevant? Asking questions that if you are genuinely concerned in that prospect, relevant questions fly right off of your tongue. I mean, they fly right off of your tongue. If you are genuinely interested in the person, I'm not talking about genuinely interested because they are interesting to you. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is become genuinely interested in them as a human being, regardless if they are interesting to you at all. You literally have to move your ego out of this thinking way. Literally, that's what you need to do. And you need to now put yourself and post yourself in a position where you are really in a discovery position of discovering who are they, what are they about, why do they like their job or why do they not like their job. The script book, by the way, has obviously great questions in there that you can use, the script book that we use for cold markets. That there are some forming questions that are in there. again, I want you to start with what isn't relevant. What isn't relevant is you. They don't care. People are genuinely concerned about themselves and themselves only. They could care less what you think. They could care less about what you like. They could care less about what you're excited about. They really, in most cases, could care less. There's a certain personality that does care if you're excited because they want to be excited too. But that's only 1 out of 4 of the people that you're going to come in contact with. And so in order to be able to encapsulate all personality types, you've really got to learn how to become genuinely interested in other people. There's a book you can get to really hone in on your skills. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a powerful, powerful book. A huge, powerful book. If you're a manipulator for your own gain, unfortunately, it will help you to become better at that. If you are someone that is genuinely concerned with other people, you really want to serve, you really want to be a leader that is making a major impact on people's lives, all different types of people's lives and all different degrees, then this book will absolutely impact you, equip you. It's a powerful tool that you need in your hand. Just like a carpenter has a tool of a hammer, you need a hammer in your hand in order to be good with people. And that is How to Win Friends and Influence People. So good forming questions, you know, where are you from? Relevant questions, you know, about their family. How many children they have? How long have they been married? Man, what's the key to their success in their marriage? You know, where are they from? Are they originally from this location? Where did they live prior to? You know, ask them about their family, the things their children like to do, hobbies that their wife may have, things like that. Just get them talking about themselves. About their occupation, how long they've been doing it, what they like most about it, what they used to do, what they used to do even before that, what really clicked for them in those particular professions, what they felt they were really good at in those professions, what they don't like in those professions. Those are relevant questions to ask, especially to give you bait on what to put on your hook to be able to, you know, lead them into taking a look at your opportunity. About recreation, what they like to do for fun, how often do they get to do it, how did they become really good at it, what do they like most about it, what do they not like about it? Those are great, relevant questions to ask, okay? Now, again, those are the questions that 93% of all communication is nonverbal. And so you could be asking those questions with your one and only intention, and that is to sign them up. They can tell. But if your intention is, I'm just genuinely interested in this human being, I'd like to see what they're all about and what they like. Okay. Next question, how can I improve getting people I'm calling to a presentation and closing, especially those who are long distance? Working long distance is the same as working in a local market. In fact, working long distance, there's some products on our website that I'd recommend for you to get, and that would be the Home Presentation Success System. That is crucial. The Home Presentation Success System will equip you on how to be able to do to build a business long distance. And it's very simple. It's the same exact process that you would use. It's the same 5 steps. You know, step number 1, making the initial contact. So let's say you're in California and you're making contact with somebody in Australia. You know, it's, what time is it over there? It is over there, 2 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow. Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow. Almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow. So, you know, you obviously got a time change. So then you make the initial contact, and then step 2 is you bring them through your business presentation. And how you do that is completely up to you. Again, I've already mentioned probably 6 ways to be able to do that. Maybe your organization does live business presentations. So if that's how you do live business if you do live business presentations, then you get that person, once you introduce that brand new person, let's call her Sue, into your business, she needs to have a speakerphone. What you'll do is call in and do the presentation over the speakerphone. Again, you need the Home Presentation Success System to really make sure you set in a system of duplication sponsoring long distance. Okay, so you do that live, or let's say that you do it through a conference call, meaning the company has conference calls every hour on the hour. You would 3-way in Sue into that. You 3-way her contact into that. I mean, that's simple. I mean, to work in Australian market, you know, it's 8 o'clock over here. Somebody in California, somebody could work into the evening, late evening, and it be in the middle of the day over there, which is awesome. Okay, so there's conference calls, there's pre-recorded messages, websites, the list goes on, okay? Step number 3, then you do the follow-up and the close. And then step 4 is you do on-the-job training with that person. Home Presentation Success System also kind of reveals what that information is to you, too. So on-the-job training is that now you're going to take Sue on some 3-way calls with you as you're doing some prospecting here in the States, or you guys are doing some prospecting in Australia or wherever, whatever it is that you'd be targeting. And then step number five is leadership development. Leadership development, I'm going to tell you flat out, that does not happen through a phone call. That does not happen through one conference call. That happens through training seminars, clearly. Somebody that has a desire to become a leader who wants to earn a six- or a seven-figure income, that's a totally different breed of people than the average person that you get started. And as you develop in your leadership, you will learn how to be able to pull the best out in others so they're willing to take those kind of leadership steps. And those are seminars like Dallas, Texas, that's coming up. That Dallas, Texas event, you know, that's taking place, First Steps to Success, January, that's First Steps to Success. That is for people who have a desire to be developed as a leader. And I cannot tell you how many six- and seven-figure income earners that have been through First Steps that have been blown away at the first level of training seminar that we do, because it's really not an entry-level seminar at all. I mean, at all. It is way advanced under most industry standards. You know, Dallas, Texas, and then, of course, there's Creating a Dynasty, which is our advanced training seminar. That is a leadership development process. Those are leadership development systems. Those are all systems put in place to be able to help you develop leadership. Plugging people through that system of step number five helps you to develop leadership. So there you go. I answered that question. Let me see if there's anything else I should answer on that question. Okay, so long distance, how do you do that? Well, this conference call, I mean, it's an international, people from all over the world are on the call right now. Again, we have people that it's tomorrow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that are on this call. There's people in Europe that are on this call. It's not quite 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a little bit, I think, earlier. Yeah, a little bit earlier than that. In Europe, they're on this call. There's people in Asia on this call. There's people in Singapore. There's people in Japan on this call. People from all over the world that, you know, maybe is not the most convenient time for everybody all over the world, as well as the East Coast. We've got, oh, I don't know, probably 1,000 people on the East Coast that are listening on this call. And so that is all long distance. And so in today's technology, it's very simple to build a long-distance business as well as an international business through the phone, through websites, through conference calls, through recorded messages. There's just a number of ways to be able to do it. And if you do it the old-fashioned way, which is how I did it initially, that was, you know, your new person gets a speakerphone, you're calling in, they've got guests in their house, you're doing the three-meeting plan with them, you're walking them through it, you're getting the job done. And that simply is how you do that. Okay, cool. Right. You know what? I think I'm going to, yeah. Okay, you ready? Write this down. We have got, was it 12 days left in the month? 12, 13 days left in the month. You have to answer this question. How am I going to end the next 2 weeks? What am I going to do different in the last 2 weeks of December that I didn't do in the first 2 weeks of December? Guys, let me tell you something. Right now, it's such the time to grab the bonuses in your company. Right now is the time. The competition is low because the majority of the people out there in the industry are sleeping. They are so distracted with circumstances right now. They are so completely in busy land of messing around with the stupid holidays that they have put their business on hold, which is sad because that means it's not a business at all. If your business is on hold, it ain't no business. It is a hobby. You put hobbies on hold when your life gets busy. You don't put business on hold when your life gets busy. And so right now is the time, clearly, to be able to step up to the plate and get those bonuses. Work December like it is April. Work December like it's May. Work December like it's February or January, the busiest months of our year. Work December like it's October. Do not work December like majority of the people are thinking December. They're thinking everybody's busy, everybody's at Christmas parties. Perfect time to prospect. Everybody's got these other things going on. Perfect time to prospect. You are shopping in malls, meeting people every single day. And so now is the time to prospect like a maniac. That is the absolute truth. And I'm telling you, there are still people responding to advertisements looking for home-based businesses. Still right now, today, people responded to an ad looking to make money. I got started in the month of December. Hello? So if you are not going to call those leads, that means you're missing out on bringing someone like me into the business. I started in the month of December. And so if I started in the month of December, hello, I can guarantee you there's other people. In fact, Tom and Kim out of San Diego, who made $200,000 their first year, also were looking in December, looking, finally made their decision January 8th. So hello, there are leaders, the cream off the top are who are being prospected right now, okay? So now is the time to hit it hard. Think April, think January, think October, do not think December. Now is the time to clean house, pretend the sun is shining up there, which in Australia it is. And those of you that come from that particular religion where you don't celebrate Christmas, hello, you guys should be getting the biggest checks this month. In fact, an entire sales organization that came from that religion, they don't celebrate birthdays, they don't celebrate holidays, and man, this is the month they clean house. This is the month that they got number one. Why? Because I drove them to. Get out there and get it done. If you're going to be somebody that is a leader, you're going to be somebody that's going to think, you're going to be somebody that's going to hit your goals, you've got to be someone that thinks different than everybody else and sees a window of opportunity and absolutely jumps on it. I'm going to close with this. Please hear me out. Hear me out. And I'm not going to promote First Steps for Dallas. What I am going to promote is this. This time of year is near and dear to my heart for a couple reasons. And what I want to make sure that you do is that you do not get so caught up in the marketplace today. It is pathetic and it is ridiculous to me. I was out there today actually getting clothes for my children who were in need. High waters. Man, my boys go through shoes every 3 months, man. They thrash them. And so anyway, we were in, you know, normal need of stuff. And unfortunately, today was the day that I had to get the job done before we leave on another trip. And so, I'm out there and I'm just wanting to throw up. Why? Because what do I see? I see people buying things, purchasing items for other people that don't need a thing. We are spending right now billions of dollars in our malls and at our department stores and at Walmart and Sam's Club and Target, and the list goes on. And most of us are feeling absolutely obligated to purchase things for people that we don't even want to buy them stuff. Why? Because there's an obligation, because you know they're going to do something for you, so therefore you feel like you got to do something for them. That is such bondage. Now, there are some of you that you love this time of year, and you love purchasing gifts, and you love going into debt to purchase gifts for people that are going to eventually wind up in a garage sale someday. Maybe you love to do that, and that's okay. Hats off to you. God bless you. Don't go into debt to make that happen. Go retail some products so that you don't finance another Christmas. Save some money on some groceries this month. Find a way to live without something this month so that you don't go into debt starting in January, further in debt than you need to be. The other thing I'm going to tell you is this. I encourage you. A couple weeks ago, I introduced a concept to you called secret blessings. I've been doing secret blessings for years and years and years, and I want to develop an army of people that are going to join me on this adventure. It is not an easy task to do at all, and it's especially not easy to do with your families, because some people just get absolutely indignant about spending money they don't need to spend on people who don't need a thing. So I am encouraging you to meet up with your families and to say this. Say, rather than, and I've done this with my friends and I've done this with family for years and years and years, and there's some family that still insists on purchasing gifts, and it makes me want to throw up. And you know, there's some people that you can't get around it from. But I want you to do this. I want you and your children to consider doing something. I want you and your parents to consider doing something this year. And what I want you to consider doing is this. If you get your family together and you say, you know what, none of us need for anything. All of us are living in a home. We are warm. We have clothes. We have food. We have more than we need. And the marketplace has figured out how to absolutely rob us blind this time of year of planning in us obligation to have to purchase for things for people that don't need a thing. And the reality is all of us have received things that have wound up in a garage sale, and some of us have bought things for people, and it winds up in a garage sale. So rather than us letting the market make a tremendous amount of money off of us this Christmas season, let's find a family that is in need. And I want you to start networking. Start networking amongst your friends and your family members. Who do we know that is in great desire, great need this season? We know, for example, in our little town of a woman whose husband just died. They are 28 and 29 years old. She's left behind with three small children all under the age of five. Here it is, the first Christmas. He died a month ago. Left her with a multiple six-figure doctor bill. Multiple six-figure doctor bill that she's going to have to pay for, and they had no insurance. So my children and our family, we are pulling funds together rather than spending money on each other, on things that we just don't need. We are taking that money and we're going shopping for those three children. We are going grocery shopping for this family. We are buying clothes and jackets and blankets for this family. We're going to pay an electric bill so she doesn't have to worry about it for a month. We're going to do things that are necessary to help someone who is truly in need. And I'm telling you, you don't have to look very far inside of your center of influence to find people that are in desperate need right now. So, and I want you to do this, and I want you to know something. We took our kids to for Christmas to Hawaii, and that was the best thing, because number one, it was a long way to vacation. Number two, I didn't have to sucker into all the crap and the nonsense of the Christmas season, of buying things for family members that they don't need anything. And so we sent letters out to everybody, and we said, hey, just want to let you know, you had your hand in blessing several families for this Christmas. Rather than us sending you things that you do not need, we took the money that we would have spent on things that you don't need, and we put it towards families that were in great need, homeless children, homeless moms and dads that were cold this Christmas season. And so we put that in a letter that we sent out to everybody. Well, we then wound up taking our children out, and they all purchased things they would have wanted to receive themselves. They wrapped those gifts. They delivered those gifts to homeless kids. They delivered those gifts to family that were being evicted from their homes. And when we came home, my children said their best thing about their trip to Hawaii was giving their presents to those children. What a thing to sow into the next generation. You have a chance to make a major impact on your children, teaching them to give instead of looking for what to receive. That is priceless, not to mention sending a message out to your family. Listen, please don't send us anything. Please don't, because we're going to take all the money that we would have spent, and we're going to send it to families that have great need. I'm telling you, folks, we need to become a people that think like that. That is extraordinary. So if you're going to join me on this secret blessing, and again, these families do not know you're coming. You're going to show up unannounced with a carload of stuff. You can go to the food banks and be able to participate with that. You can do through your church's food closets and participate with that, meaning buy groceries from places like that to be able to fill these people's homes with things like that. And so go do it. Find out about the mom, what size she wears, what does she like. Find out about the dad, what are his needs. Find out about the children, what their interests are. Do it secretively and deliver it in secret. We've done it to where we've walked in their house when they weren't even home. We had a friend that had a key to the house that let us walk in, and we dumped off a month's worth of groceries, clothing, robes, jackets, gifts, you name it. These people came home. They had six children. They had no heating in their house. They had six kids. We just walked in, delivered the stuff, and left. When those people got home that day, guess what they found? Oh, man. They found a God who is merciful, who blessed them. That's who they found. They found no people. They found a bounty of gifts. And so allow yourself to be used with a spirit of mercy this weekend, with a spirit of generosity this weekend, a spirit of grace this coming weekend, and bless people. Bless them abundantly. Rather than giving things to people that you feel obligated to give to, rather than giving things to people who just don't need anything. They don't need it. They're just going to wind up with more crap in their closets that they're going to have to buy Rubbermaid bins to store it in their garage. Why do that? Let's use our money to sow into people who need and wind up with a big blessing on the other side of it. So, guys, we're past the time of 8 o'clock. God bless you. Merry Christmas. I won't talk to you till I won't talk to you until the first of the year. If you really want to kick your business off to a big bang this year, be in Dallas and have a truckload of people with you at that particular event. Other than that, guys, God bless you. I'm going to open up the lines, and let's wish everybody a Merry Christmas.